we are back. We are back with Learn to Unlearn. This is Luca Maino. I hope everybody's doing good, and I love this song, so let's keep listening to it just a little bit longer. Strings, please. And cellos rising. Perfect. Thank you so much. And the curtain closes, right? I love doing this stuff. This is Luca Maino. We're back. I hope everybody's doing well. And, you know, there's something about playing your own music when you start the show. It's fun, I have to say. And I like the groove because I'm getting, I'm healing. I'm healing more and more. And I got to keep saying it. It's really Rick's music that's helping me so much come back to life. And just, you know, it's like I said, put it this way. It used to be Snoopy dance songs with my father and I when he was in a good mood. And when things were working good, we would dance like Snoopy does. That's the kind of thing that I love doing now when I hear Rick's music. It's like that one song in particular. Oh, here we go. You know, here we go. Snoopy dance. And that's what you'll probably hear me say more than not. Hello to everybody in the chat. Hello to Annie. A special hello today to Annie. Just I'm thanking her more and more, it seems, for having the network. And to Steve, the super producer, who is with us now and who promises to be a little bit more vocal today. Is that possible, Steve?
Who promised to be more vocal?
Uh-oh, here we go. Argument number one. Okay. Okay, you first. No, seriously, because we're talking before we go on the air, and he's got a lot to say, and he's just, you know, coloring the subject so much that I have. It's a lot of fun. So I don't know where to start, Steve. There's so much going on. Okay, well, let's start by what the Hopi are saying, okay? Well, before that, I'd like to issue an apology. And I think everybody knows why on the air right now, because some people do things maybe without thinking, or, you know, people can be hurt or insulted, and things happen, and I feel implicated. So I do want to apologize. Okay. And before we go into the show, why don't I start there? Because we don't have to get into the reason. I think everybody knows, and the people who don't follow in the chat right now, it's, you know, not really important for them to know.
But Luca,
at this point, yes.
You want me to speak up more? What Rolling Bear did has got nothing to do with you.
No. Well, you know, it's sad, but it, you know, okay. It's true. You take a kind of a responsibility when you're, on the other side of the fence that is kind of aimed at. So I'm not.
No, I mean, you're not a Christian, but you don't go slamming or you don't go around slamming everything that is in the Bible or anything, do you?
No, but this is what's interesting, because before I was introduced to Native Americans and to their way of life, and this is around 1991. It was before my accident, my back accident. So it's 1990. I was the first adult to be baptized in a Roman Catholic church in Edmundston, New Brunswick, in Canada. And I have my baptism certificate, right? And I had to do that in order to go pray with them, to go to church every Saturday or Sunday. And you would dress up and you would go. And I could never go because I was not part of that. So I would sit in the back pew until one day I said, listen, I'd like to do, you know, do what the Romans do, right? You know, so 75-year-old catechism teacher for adults made me read tome 0, tome 1, and tome 2 of Jesus's life. And I was she was strict, okay? I even had I have to do a 20-minute sermon the day of my baptism. It was rough, but I really appreciated it. And because things go hand in hand, okay, I'm going to say like Roger Landry, now listen to me. It's because of that and how you live and how you, you know, your moral code of conduct, whatever you want to call it, okay? That led me into the Native American field, which is parallel, absolutely parallel. Do not kill. By the way, do not kill. It's not do not kill. It's do not murder. Very, very important, okay?
Sure. There's a difference.
Yes, because kill, no. Kill, of course you're not going to kill, but murder, you know, whoa, you know, they're two different definitions, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they're different circumstances, yeah.
Yes, so you can't generalize. But my point is that every single sacred belief system on Earth, they're all parallel at the root. You know, they're all saying the same thing. Do no evil unto no one. You know, first do no harm. Like whatever the Hippocratic Oath that the doctors are supposed to go by, which they don't. So we really have to be encouraged to go back to source. And the source for me is forgiving. And let me tell you why. I got into a big fight with a radio show host and, you know, somebody that I work closely with. Okay. Okay. So I was kind of talked rudely to, and it wasn't very nice because it was in public. You know, you don't do that. You don't cut people down in public. Okay. As soon as that happened, somebody else cut me down afterwards within 2 minutes because you're teaching people how to treat you. Okay. So one person kind of gets away with, you know, oh, somebody else does it right away because, oh, okay, that's cool. It happened to me all the time in my groups, my musical groups all the time. Oh, Luca can get beeped on, right? All the time, okay? So I pulled the plug right away. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sensitivity. That's how I came back at them. I'm sorry. And the host immediately said, oh, Luca, is there something I said that upset you? I'm sorry about that. Right away, you unplugged the problem by apologizing for your sensitivity, or in this case, for mine, right? And I knew it because if I wasn't that sensitive, rather than attacking, you're automatically doing what, quote, Jesus would want, unquote. You know, you give him the left cheek, he smacks you, you give him the right one. Okay. You forgive, and that makes you the better person. I think it teaches other people to you're emulating, right? It's really beautiful to see that. So, enough of that. I wanted to talk about my disclaimer really quick. Also, I know I'm kind of jumping around, but this is important too because in my sharing, there's not going to be any ego or very little of it, or you can remind me of it when it shows up. I don't think it will. And I want to share for people that might not have heard this show before, if they're joining us for the first time, hopefully that would be nice. We can speak about anything on the show because it's like we're walking on the beach together and I pick up a rock and I'm showing it to you. Look at this. This is what I found. What do you think? Like today, I'm going to show you some pretty wild things about Baltimore, Maryland, and some pretty wild things about the eclipse because this is what I found. This is what resonates with me. What do you think? Okay. And it's really cool because we can talk about anything. We can talk about absolutely, you know, any subject at all, because I'm not saying this is the truth and look at me and I know what I'm talking about. I don't. And I'll be the first to say it. Luca, you know, you don't, are you a PhD? No, but this really resonates with me, you know? So that's a really important part of the show, the part of my disclaimer where I talk about Socrates and somebody comes up to him and, you know, and he says, you know, hey, if I got something to tell you about your, you know, and nope. Socrates holds his hand up and he says, it's got to go through three sieves first. You know, you guys know the story, right? Is it true? He says, well, you know, I don't know. Okay.
You got to go through what? Huh? He's got to go through three what?
Three sieves, like, you know, for noodles to get the water out. Is it true?
Three filters. Says,
well, I don't know. Well, it's sieves because it's old English, okay, or whatever, and or sieves, I think it is. And the second one is usefulness. You know, is it useful? Well, not really. Okay. Well, the third one, it could save you. Is it necessary? And it's like, no, not really. Okay. So you don't know if it's true. It's not useful and it's not necessary. So why are you telling me? And I thought, what a good line for my show. That's what I want to do. You know, so it's going to be true to the best of my ability. It's going to be useful and necessary for everybody because I'm coming from, you know, all different angles. We're going to go to Native America today and you're going to be dancing on the tables again, whether you like it or not. I want to talk about a proclamation from 1600 that I just found, thanks to somebody else, right? And a commitment to myself in my healing segment. So I'm going, like, where do we start? What do we do? What do we do first? Well, why don't we start with a beautiful meme that's staring at me right in the face? And it says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go ahead and do that. Because that's what the world needs. It's what people who have come alive. That's what we need. We really need people to come alive and to talk about their heart and to talk about what moves them. And this is what my show is. And this is why I feel so close to everybody so fast, you know. And a little thank you, wink, wink, to Melissa earlier for saying, you know, that, you know, she loves me, because this is what we're trying to project. We're, you know, it's very difficult to get people to trust. And, you know, you have to be with people a long time. And I feel like it's family. And, you know, Annie and I speak quite a bit. And, you know, I would be helping the station financially if I could. And it's breaking my heart that we have to, you know, ask for donations. You know, like, it's really pitiful that, you know, people listening don't think of that automatically. And instead of going to Starbucks, you know, like, you just give the $5. See, unfortunately with me, and I'm sure it's the same way with you, Steve, we're broke like, what, 10, 15 minutes after we get paid? How it is for me.
I've been hardly less than a week and a half.
You can't. It's like this is a colonial system that we're under, right? They know how much you need. They know where you're going to spend it. They know where you're going to get gas. It's crazy. And I'm seeing that. And it's marvelous because I can sit there and compartmentalize everything. And we never have enough time to talk. We never do. And I feel like saying thank you again for everybody for joining us. I really do, because it's a special time. Let's just go with the important stuff first. Steve and I were talking about this before the show. This makes me come alive. Don't ask what the world needs, Luca. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. Okay. I'm putting this out here because I feel it. Okay. Let's go back. Let's go back to the Boston bombing. Yeah. Let's go back to Baltimore. Okay. I was watching, see Steve puts in one ingredient that I just happened to miss, right? Or that I forgot, because we're going ad lib. I remember the ship being docked and the workers saying that it lost power, power came on, lost power, whatever. Okay. Then later on, when they were in the channel, lost power, how many times is not important right now, but I'm finding out through my best friend and my brother from another mother, who happens to be Lieutenant General in the Marine Corps, who says that ships, vessels can be easily maneuvered, shut down, or taken over anywhere because their software on their computer software isn't encrypted. So it's very easy. And it's been done quite a long time. Actually, the Obama movie, if you guys heard about that, what is that movie called? I'm stretching here because I heard it before, but I don't think I have it mentioned. There's an Obama, Leave the World Behind. There you go. There's a ship that runs aground on an island, scaring the people half to death and beachgoers going crazy. Well, There is an article right here, and I'm sharing it in the link in the chat, where, you know, cyber attack on an Iranian spy ship. Oh, okay. You know, see, this is what the U.S. is doing. The U.S. is really good at this stuff. Okay. So that's just Baltimore. And the reason why I'm putting that out is because this is something else. Okay. And Steve, you were saying that there was another incident that happened at another major port?
Yeah. No, not a port. I think somewhere in Arkansas on a river.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess it could be a port.
That's what I thought it was. I had the word port in my head when you said it. See, and they're trying to break the infrastructure, right? They don't care about infrastructure. They don't put money in the infrastructure. Where does that money go? Israel. What does Congress serve? Israel. Okay. Cynthia McKinney said, no, she gave the third finger to Israel. She's or to Congress. Same thing. She said, no, I'm not serving them or it. I'm serving a Rothschild creation, right? I'm serving the people. No, thank you. So she backed off. See, it's all in my notes. It's all in my pictures. It's all in my memes because I'm going after what resonates with me and I'm putting it together like a puzzle. So this week, because of the eclipse, listen to this. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, right? Heading into that area. Okay. One area where the four rivers meet. All kinds of quotes going on. And I don't feel good about it. Okay. This is a classic example of something that resonates with me. On April 8th. Okay. We're talking about it, what? A week before. Okay. Yeah. See, there you go. The Simpsons predicted it. Okay. Watch this. You're going to hear it from me. And I'm so happy. Man-made disasters, right? Don't let, what is it? Don't let a good catastrophe go to waste or a good false flag go to waste. And I said to a friend of mine, you know, all they have to do is trigger the Madrid fault line, trigger an artificial earthquake on the Madrid fault line. Oh, Luca, that's already happening. Last week, we're already getting some. The people I talked to over there are saying that, you know, They're generating from over 150 miles into the ground, okay? So we're talking about the eclipse. It's just crazy. So according to my friend, he says that the probability of a severe earthquake is around 8%. That's according to him, okay? The organic prepper, is on YouTube. He says, okay, the National Guard are deploying 27 members of an elite unit on chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear disasters. Okay, you take that, put it over here. Then, the sun is at its solar maximum. The planets are all aligning. Oh, look at this. CERN is firing up their proton accelerator that day. Okay. The last time they did that, they burned a hole in the atmosphere and they did damage to the magnetic field, I believe. NASA is also shooting up missiles into the eclipse in order to investigate what happens. Okay. There's the Devil's Comet. It's called Devil's Comet. That can be
apparently seen.
Wait a minute.
You said NASA's going to do what?
NASA apparently is shooting up missiles into the eclipse to investigate what happens, like with you know, reading equipment.
How could they shoot missiles up into the eclipse?
Up in the air.
They claim the moon is 248,000 miles away.
That's what they're saying. They're shooting up missiles into the eclipse area to see how things go and what happens, to measure all kinds of stuff. From what I hear, and there's a link on that also. There's a link on the Devil's Comet also. That's what it's called. It was apparently supposed to hit Earth. They were thinking it was going to months back, but apparently now it isn't. So the Devil's Comet will be seen apparently in total darkness of the eclipse. You'll be able to see it at the same
Luca?
Time.
Yeah. What was that quote you said earlier?
What?
You had a quote earlier.
I don't recall a quote.
Well, you must have had it written down, didn't you?
A quote. Talking about this?
No. You had a quote from something.
Okay, well, write it to me in chat. Remind me, because I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Never mind. It just reminded me of a quote from Martin Luther King.
Okay.
He says, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular. But one must take it because it is right.
Yeah. There you go. I had a lot of quotes lined up, actually. I'm not sure which one you were talking about, but...
No, why? You read one, or you... Okay. You said something about 5 minutes ago.
Huh.
It was a quote from somebody.
I didn't have it. Oh, maybe I said it by heart, and it's long gone by now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about that. See what I mean? So I'm kind of going, like, this is really, Steve, I didn't start my timer either. This is how much I really wanted to get into this.
I was going to tell you, but I forgot to.
Yeah, see? Yeah, we got into it, and I get so excited when I start the show sometimes, I don't even think about it.
Well, you're in 22 minutes so far.
Okay, so you can let us know. And in the music segment, you guys are really going to like this, because this is, it's going to be completely indigenous, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Back to the Baltimore Bridge thing. It was funny because I was listening to Lara Logan, and I really paid attention to what she was saying and her script. And you got to be sharp, right? At one point, she says, that cripples the I-94 corridor straight down the East Coast.
Yeah, that's the most used road.
No, I said, it's not. It's the I-95.
Yes,
right? I-95. She said I-94. The I-94 is somewhere on the Dakotas or up by the...
Well, there is no... Yeah, what? See? I-94 goes up through Chicago, and it goes up through... Wisconsin.
She said all the way down the East Coast. See, she makes a mistake.
Yep.
She's very aggressive. She's actually showing me from her reporting what not to do. That's why it's so much fun. You sit back and you listen to Lara, and then you listen to this guy, and you listen to that person, and you sit there and you go, oh, okay. This is what I think, according to what I've seen. You know, you never go up. See, this is what I wanted to talk about, too. It's called absolutism. Okay? I'm so glad I remembered.
Well, Luca, she had what was called righteous indignation, and she just misspoke the number of the road.
You shouldn't accused right away. You shouldn't say this is that. This is what happened. This, you know, it's very dangerous. It's a very slippery slope. And usually when people do that, truthers that really are dedicated to their craft,
well, you know, back up. People that are in the mainstream are going to say, oh, she's a liar. She said it was I-94. It was I-95. So she's a liar.
No, that just means, oh, she made a mistake.
See, yeah.
I didn't think that. I think, oh, there's one, you know. See, so that's how you can catch controlled opposition really easily. I'm not saying she is, but I'm saying that's one of my things. You really got to be paying attention very closely, and you have to know stuff like that. So that was just one example. But absolutism is at the, okay, no, ego is at the bottom of it. Check this out. Because if you don't have, okay, everybody has ego, yes. But if what you're coming from is not from, if your motivation is not ego, then what happens is you're not absolute. You're not saying, this is what happened. This is, you know, listen to me. I know the truth. You're saying what I'm saying. I'm going, hey, you know, it could be, you know, please tell me I'm wrong. You guys know better than I do. I always say that, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. You know, please tell me if I am. I'll be the first one to admit if I'm wrong. How many times have I said that? This is what I mean. That's not ego. Ego is absolutism. And that's such a beautiful word, because that's exactly what it is. It stops there. And if you don't believe it, well, you're a Holocaust denier. If you don't believe it, well, you know, you're labeling. And I don't think it's right. I really don't. I really, really don't. It's not cool. See, all those things, and then you got ego, and then it's a runaway train wreck. So I'm so glad I thought of that. I'm going by the seat of my pants today because it's all spirit taking over. I don't like planning stuff, as everybody knows. So there are certain things that we have to talk about. And the other thing before the break, yes, is that I'm making a commitment to myself to always push myself to be the best person I can be for everybody else, for you. Okay, for everybody who cares. And it's so important to do that. Just like people of good morals and good conscience, that's what they do. When they wake up in the morning, when their feet hit the floor, you make the commitment to yourself every way you can. Some pray, some meditate. I love drinking water. I love drinking like room temperature water in the morning. Some say you get 25% more energy from that. And I sit down and I just think, and I have the volume off on the TV. I always do the same thing. And I don't do anything else but sit and think. Sometimes I close my eyes. And I make a commitment to myself. Yes, with my coffee. Yes. And I think, what can I do? How can I get better? What have I done last night that I can do better today? Remember that one? When you're lying in bed that night and you're saying, what did I do today that I can do better tomorrow? That's the kind of spirit that nobody will be able to break. And that's why they have to kill us sometimes. If you remember John Trudell's quote, John Trudell, Lakota, he always says that sometimes they have to kill us because they can't break our spirit. We're too strong. See, and that's one of them. I will do my best every day for the world that I can touch, for the people I can touch. That's all I can do. The rest is not my responsibility. And I'm going to say it again, with coffee, yes, and with good people like my good family. How's that? Let's see, when you come back, should we do the Native American music segment? That should be pretty cool. Boston Mark's giving me a laugh, so things are looking good. I think that would be good. Oh, and a little wink, wink moment. Steve, I heard a really cute line today, and I got Roger Landry laughing so hard he almost choked.
What's that?
Well, there's Kung Fu, right? Everybody knows Kung Fu, okay? How about Tong Fu? I thought that was so cool. The art of speaking to flatten people, to knock them over with your words. Tong Fu?
Oh, okay.
I heard that on a show once, and it's like, oh, I got to remember that.
You're at 29 minutes if you want to take your break.
Tong Fu, especially in relationships, okay? Anyway, okay, so we're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back, and that means I can wet my whistle also.
And
right?
You can turn your timer on, too.
And I could turn the timer on and minus or add 30 minutes. Yes, smart ass. I can do that too. Yes, I can. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And we're going to do that. Yes, we are. We're going to do that. We're going to go to tlbtalk.com, et cetera, and we're going to see some of the latest news clips that I want to share with everybody. There goes the timer. And I've got to say, I'm watching the chat. I don't want to get into trouble with anybody, but there are some people that cannot, you know what I mean? Like the picture of the woman without her coffee and she looks like a monster. You know what I mean? I've lived that. Okay. So, yeah, I'm the one that goes to make the coffee before she wakes up and, you know, okay. Yeah, that's very important. Don't talk to me without my coffee. Right. Some people are like that, I suppose. Yeah. Well, okay. I want to take you guys back before we get into the health segment. I want to take you guys back to a gathering. The Native Americans are coming up to the colony and they're reaching their hand out in peace. Believe it or not, they're not killing them. Okay. They're reaching their hand out in peace. So, the Native American way is to gather around, you know, have a campfire, have a sacred object, gather around everybody, invite them, and do a gathering song. Right. Okay. And of course they can't sing. They don't know what the song is, but they were told beforehand. So they bring a violin because that's their music. That's their instrument. That's one of the only things that they could salvage from the hardship of the trip over. Right. And they have a beautiful violin with them. So they sit in the circle with the violin and the drum. Okay, I'm going to go get my drum. I have to do this. Okay, so I have my drum literally in my hand. And they sit there and they start this. Okay, and they stop and they laugh, you know? Just like that. And it sets the stage for you know, the colonists to start stomping their feet. And you know, everybody starts adding to that, you know. And then you hear a certain melody. And the violin player comes up and he goes, oh, cool, you know. And they hear, okay, the colonists hear the first chant. And then it's repeated. Then you have the Indians going, oh, okay, we have a turn. Okay, the colonists have a turn. You know, we play A and the colonists play A. We play B, the colonists play B. We play AB, the colonists play AB. It's phenomenal. And this is called the gathering song. And you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about when you listen to it, because you know who's who and all of it. And at the end, they're singing together. And I just might interrupt it. It's not long, though.
Go to Wakana, 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 go to
So it's a celebration. It's a celebration, and everybody's going practically nuts at the end of it, singing and playing together.
Go to Wakana, go to Wakana, go to Wakana, go to Wakana.
Actually, at the end, they're singing together. I think even at the end, the violin does the whole thing by himself, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, let's hear it. There you go. Yeah. See, that could last for hours. You think that was long? That could last for hours. Just that. You know, the Indians could do long rounds by themselves. And by the end, everybody knows the song. You know, I can't sing that high, but that's one of them. That's another problem, too. Somebody that can't sing that high, good luck. Okay. See, this is we're bringing that back to absolutism, because that's the polar opposite of absolutism. The Indians are sitting there going, this is what we do. This is how we sing. This is how we say hello. This is how we say we love you. You're welcome. What we have is yours. That's not ego. They didn't even know what property was back then. They would share everything. Everybody had a place. Everybody, there wasn't anything about existentialism. Everybody knew their place in a world run by the council of grandmothers, run by women. You know, everything was balanced, you know. And one host that I was talking with the other night on my other radio show mentioned it, you know, like, what happened back then? You know, why are there all these labels? Why is there only one group of people deciding for everything? We have labels for everything. We have, you know, if you don't follow this, you're wrong. If you don't follow that, you're wrong. There's labels everywhere. And she's so right. And this is something that you know, I really wanted to touch on, because it's a way of of telling my story with different words. But then you hear that, and that's the same thing I'm saying, but in a different way, right? And that's what happens. It's like, you know, this is how your life is supposed to be. And if you don't fit in that, well, you know, it's your problem. See, it took me up to 65 years old to figure, well, not 65, maybe 60 or 55, if I'm nice to myself, to realize that, you know, this is not going to work this way. Okay. So in my health segment, this is what I want to share with people, because I'm to share with you, because I'm really having a difficult time. I really am. You know, we're unearthing lies from the past. You know, isn't that an interesting word? We're unearthing, right? And we're supposed to be earthing. We're supposed to be going to the earth for healing. See what I mean? But we're unearthing the lies of patriarchy, the lies of war, the lies of genocide, the lies of, you know, we know the drill. Okay. So in order to develop Tung Fu, I need practice. And Steve is really good too. Steve will challenge you right away when, you know, that's what he did twice already on the show. It's like, you know, what do you mean, Luca? You know, well, you have to explain yourself. This is what's so good about being challenged. You learn so fast.
Well, it's got nothing to do with challenging. I just didn't know what you were talking about.
No, but that's what it is. It's a challenge, because you have to explain what you're talking about. You have to know what you're talking about. And it's really good. it's a positive learning experience. They throw you in a forum and they don't know you. So everybody's asking questions. Luca, you know, what do you believe in? Do you believe in this? You know, or how do you feel about this? And, you know, you're practically grilled. And it's like, wow, okay. You know, you find out what you stand for more than anything else. When you're challenged, you learn about yourself like never before. When you get uncomfortable, there's another one I wanted to talk about. That's my health segment, basically. You know why? You won't learn anything if you don't get uncomfortable, right? Okay, so what's happening with me is I'm getting so uncomfortable. I wake up sometimes in the morning, and I've said it before on another radio show. I might have said it last week. Paralyzed by fear, beyond sad, with such a heavy heart. Even the strongest among us have a hard time like that. You're feeling trapped. You feel like there's no escape. You know, you feel something. Your stomach is in knots. Literally, that's how you wake up. That's how I wake up so often now. My stomach's in knots. You don't know why. You know something's going to happen. You can feel something in the air, but you can't put your finger on it. Yep, and I pray too, Andy. Exactly. You know, I use prayer for healing in meditation too. It's beautiful. And you pray to yourself. You talk to yourself. You know, one of my favorite lines is, Luca, we're doing good. And you say it out loud. You know, Luca, we're doing good. You know, and sometimes I hit myself on the back, you know, and we have to embrace the difficulties. You know, some people don't even talk about them. Some people just completely avoid them or just say, no. You know, you're just, you know. So the more profound we are, the more inner work we do, the more chances we have of coming out the other end. Okay. That's how my stress level was actually this morning. So I have that other story that I told you guys about working with that cameraman in Canada that was just treating me, in a really bad way. Okay. For months. I think you guys remember that. And I even had clients that we worked for coming up to me saying, Luca, how can you work with somebody like that? How do you do it? Okay. You remember I told you I had water on my knee? I had a full syringe, one of the largest syringe, full, taken out, like water taken out of my knee. And the nurse looks at me and she says, Luca, left knee? And I said, yeah. She says, have you been doing anything like emotionally stressful or difficult the last few days or weeks or months? And that's what that was, because I was living such a hard time with people that just didn't have any respect. You have no idea. I wouldn't be able to talk about it without swearing.
Luca?
Yes, Steve.
I've got a friend that says somebody has problems with their knees. They're not being supported enough by friends and family.
Oh, good heavens. Well, you just cued me to the end of my story. I had four levels of pain in my knee. Four levels. Level one, when you start to feel the discomfort. Level two, when it starts to hurt and you know it's there. Level three, when it's getting worse and you can really feel the bump on the inside of your knee. And number four, when you just can't walk anymore and you have to go to the okay. So I'm at stage one right now, and I'm talking it down. I'm rubbing it down as I speak right now. I'm rubbing it with my hand, talking to myself. Okay. De-stressing myself, because it's already level one. This is just what the stress I'm living is that I'm feeling at the moment. And I know pretty much that you guys know I'm not kidding around. So it's definitely level one. And I'm trying to make it go down. And it's not me, but that's the expression of it. Okay. So there's also something else too. I did my indigenous song last week. When you do something like that you can't do any serious discussions. You can't make any serious decisions for days afterwards because you're too vulnerable. It's like going to church. It's the same thing. You go to church, you come out of church, you're not going to go do this and do that, pay bills and that. You know, no, you can't. You have to sit down, you have to think and, you know, readdress everything that was said. That's why I laughed. I have to say this. I'm in the parking lot, in my car, almost weeping because I remember the eulogy and it was so beautiful what the pastor had said. Put the car in drive and I go to take off and I hear beep and I look behind me and there's this guy with the third finger up at me in the church parking lot. You know, you almost cut me off. You almost hit me. I looked at him. I rolled my window down and I said, geez, we learned to listen well in church, haven't we? Rolled my window up and kept going. And he just sat there in the parking lot with his mouth open. Okay. So it's kind of me wanting to ask, like, is anybody else feeling that? Like, you know, I mean, this is like the Baltimore thing. This is like the eclipse thing now. Wow. You know, and everything is pointing to what everybody has been saying. Steve, we can't say any different. Everything is pointing to the same thing. But all I can do is share when I'm, you know, what I have, the knowledge that I have, and we can share everything. Steve and I always talk all week long. We're sharing stuff. And I'm really encouraged by the feeling of family with Shake and Wake Radio. And I will talk about that on my article. And people who want to listen to the article or read the article, Luca, and then listen to the show, they can. I keep forgetting to say this, and to thank Steve also for having me on his cancelthecabal.net. So every show that you hear from Learn to Unlearn, you can see on cancelthecabal.net. And I have an article coming out, and I'll give it to Annie too. I usually do on thelibertybeacon.com every week, every time, and it'll go through what we covered on the show, and I'll be giving links if there are any to give. I'm looking at stuff I wanted to share today. Besides the newsreel, let me throw this out. And this will give you an idea of how much I'm hurting. A father in Gaza, okay? I did the strangest thing today. I exchanged my children for my brother's. I took two of his children and gave him two of mine. So in case I get bombed, one of mine will survive. In case he gets bombed, one of his will live on. That's how they have to make decisions in Gaza right now, okay? And you know what they're doing in the United States? Let me say this in the same breath. Republican Tim Walberg's comment came shortly after the Biden administration to agree to send Israel more weapons to kill Palestinians. Okay. You know what Republican Tim Walberg from Michigan said at a recent event? He said that the U.S. should not spend another dime on humanitarian aid for starving Gaza, and instead they should atomize the city like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. It's written there. There's the link, right? So, you know, on the heels of what you just heard from one father to another, to, you know, one brother to another in Gaza at the very moment. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm really having a hard time with this stuff. Let me just keep going. Cover up. In the phone industry, phone radiation research canceled after safety risks are uncovered. You know, they knew this all along. They knew it all along. And the actual article says phone radiation research canceled. Yes, I just read that. Okay. It's a picture of a guy holding a phone. Depopulation. While you were distracted with where's Princess Kate conspiracy, ... You know, it's always something behind us all the time. Dr. Vernon Coleman actually talks about the book of his that I bought called "Anyone Who Tells You Vaccines Are Safe and Effective Is Lying." And here's the proof. It's a very small book. Listen to this. He says the medical profession refuses to even debate the issue of vaccination. That's because it's not vaccination. It's a depopulation agenda tool. Okay. He says, I'm sorry, I should stick to this and then I'll tell you when I'm ad-libbing. I'm going to continue reading his quote. No TV station will dare have a public discussion. Although I have sold 2 million hardback and paperbacks in the UK, and my books have appeared regularly on the bestseller lists, my book on vaccines that I just named, it's called "Anyone Who Tells You That Vaccines Are Safe and Effective Is Lying, Here's the Proof," was banned by the media. There was not one review, even though 500 review copies were sent out. No American publisher would risk printing a version for the USA, and I've been prevented from talking about its contents.
Who is this?
They love us.
Luca?
What?
Who is this?
Dr. Vernon Coleman. It's on the screen right now.
Okay.
That's his book. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No American publisher would risk printing it in the U.S. And I've been prevented from talking about it, about its contents. The ban on truth about vaccines is global. Duh. We know why. Okay. And if it was true, and if they were good for you, it'd be, you know, the ingredients would be shouted from the rooftops. When I wrote an article on vaccination for a Chinese newspaper, the Chinese government banned my books, which were widely available in China, and banned Chinese publishers from publishing any more of my work. I challenged supporters of vaccination to find one error or flaw in my book. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, in the doctor's office, your disease is caused by your lifestyle, my dear. Well, should I change my lifestyle, doc? And he says, no, here's a pill. Right? Here you go. In what has been described as the first ever comprehensive study by Israeli historian Adam Raz, he describes the extent to which Jews looted Arab property during the Jewish gang attack in 1948 on Palestinians and their homes, and explains why Ben-Gurion said most Jews are thieves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all there. They're different rabbit holes. Every single one of them are rabbit holes. Unbelievable. Judge upholds law in the United States allowing illegal immigrants to vote after allowing illegal immigrants to have firearms because it's unconstitutional to ban them from having them. Oh. You remember the photo of the New York City skyline on Good Friday in 1956 with crosses in buildings lit up? Does anybody remember that? Shows how much the U.S. has changed. I thought that was cool. Steve, you're looking at it now. Beautiful black and white picture, half colorized, uh-huh. maybe sepia.
Yep.
Beautiful. Chinese illegal immigrant caught driving onto a military base. Right? Next, fast food workers are losing their jobs pretty quickly in California as a new minimum wage law takes effect. Godfrey Bloom says the state is an institution of theft and why the whole banking system is a scam. You know, oh, good, oh, bad. Oh, good, oh, bad. Oh, there's Cynthia McKinney. U.S. lawmakers are forced to sign pledge to support Israel. I'm not kidding. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm always going to tell the truth if I can, or closest to what the truth is. We're serving Israel because the USA Inc. is just a colony. And Mr. Rothschild's up there, you know, puppet master, handler for Biden, handler for Trudeau, handler for, okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They tell them what to do. We tell them, Biden's going to do this next. We'll leave the border. Everything is done perfectly in sync. And you can, drop that over here. Oh, drop that over there. If people cared enough, G. Edward Griffin interview. The one world government is exposed. Now what? Okay. Candace Owens declares she refuses to be silenced by the powerful group that people are not allowed to talk about. There you go. And you should see that video of the rabbi with her. She interviews a rabbi who justifies the slaughter of Palestinian kids. He says those opposed are anti-Semitic bigots. Uh-huh. Really interesting stuff. We really learn quickly when we see stuff like that. How climate change is used to remove all of your rights and freedoms, right? That's how they're doing it. And meanwhile, you know, there could be something with the eclipse. You know, and this is just a normal event, right? Oh, okay. No, the National Guard is mobilized. Okay. Wow. You know? See, and this is what started me on it because of the bombshell report by Chuck Callisto on Twitter. He says whistleblowers reveals that China technology to cut power to ships, rendering controls useless. Well, yeah, I mean, that's something we touched on already, and I got that covered with my best friend from, you know, the military, who said, of course, they've been doing that for quite a while. So we're back to what we talked about earlier. And I really urge you to check out the Organic Prepper, who shows the actual article of the National Guard, and he reads it. The Organic Prepper is on YouTube. Meanwhile, a best friend of mine, another one, is showing me the echoes from the Madrid fault line already. Thank you, Sarah. Oh, the great shows are starting already. It must be close to that time, like 4 minutes probably to go. Oh, 3.5. Okay. The earthquake epicenters in Ohio and adjacent areas. And also, you know, closer, you can see if you go on a earthquake app, you can usually see those. And, you know, they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I showed this to Steve earlier, that the U.S. Navy's Earth Changes flood map, they change it. That's written without punctuation. The U.S. Navy's Earth Changes flood map of America, Earth Changes map, and New Madrid earthquake zone, they change everything. They're changing the maps around. And it's like, what does the Navy know? And they're showing flood areas that would just flood the complete East Coast up to three quarters of Georgia, three quarters of, you know, it's like, you know, we should look into this more because, you know, if they're in depopulation mode, then everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. That's what's so scary. So, I'm going to share something very quickly on Ezra Pound, and I'm probably going to talk more about him next week because we don't have time anymore. Let's see. Where is that part that I love that I wanted to read? If you know Ezra Pound, just another feather in my hat for the work I've done for World War II. Listen to this. The famous American poet had been convicted. This is Ezra Pound. Okay. The famous American poet had been convicted of treason for revealing in radio broadcasts that World War II had been started by international Jewry to further its own ends to world domination. He was kept 13 years in a lunatic asylum with a urine-soaked cell, originally in solitary confinement, and forced to wear a straitjacket. Only much later was he allowed to have visitors like Eustace Mullins. Okay, these are the things I'm talking about. That's what I want to come out with. And every single subject that I'm going to come out with is going to have its own little compartmentalization. That's what I do best. So, Steve, thank you for producing me. And Annie, thank you for having me on the network. It's a blessing to have a family like yours. And thank you for everybody, Boston Mark, Melissa, Sarah, Bible Thumper even, I'll say her name. And Spudman, yes. And if you guys want my email, all you have to do is ask Annie, and we can keep in touch also that way. So I will get my song back in order so I don't – we can hear that slide of the bass that I like so much in the beginning. And we will see you next week, same time, same place, same channel. Have a good week, and be safe, everyone.